on this episode of Rev Hang.
I have no left leg and I drive stick, so gotta get that figured out.
Colton Herta doing his best to bottle even being in the top 10. Love to see it.
Yeah. I mean, he finished the race.
Yes, he did.
I've never been a fan of Russell, but this is like, this is why.
Russell hates back on the menu, boys.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Rev Hang. You might notice that it looks a little different this week. We are remote once again, just like last season. Not
like
in
good
person.
Old times.
Yes, this
Except
is just
this
a...
is way harder to do, and you'll notice that we're back to interrupting each other because we're not in person.
Yes, I can see Ben, but Ben can't see me because technical difficulties. But...
yeah.
We are back, sort of. This is just a one-off. I have injured myself, so driving is difficult at the moment. I have no left leg, and I drive stick, so gotta get that figured out. But I do have a left leg still. I don't want to. I didn't injure myself that bad. But currently, it's not super mobile.
The Mazda anyway. Speed 3 is actually famous for having a really smooth, soft clutch, I heard.
It's not bad. It's really not bad. I don't know if you're being sarcastic, but I think it's
fine. I was being a little sarcastic. Although you're talking to somebody who used to drive a Spicer 3053 deuce and a half transmission, so.
Yeah. I will say, after coming from the RX-8, everything feels super clunky. The RX-8 had the smoothest transmission I have ever experienced. I could not stall that car if I tried.
Your SI?
My Civic was a manual, yes. All SIs are manual.
And you liked the RX-8 manual better than the Civic manual?
I didn't say that. I said it was the smoothest.
Oh, okay.
It was also the squishiest. I could not stall that car if I tried. I think I almost stalled once, but because rotary things, I just, like, floored it, and it kept the motor going.
Just gave her revs, and she kept going.
Yep. Great stuff. Horrible engine. Horrible car. But it's so much fun.
Horrible engine.
Not a horrible engine. The engine was great, if you don't like reliability. But we're not going to talk about that. This is not a Mazda Bros podcast, as much as I would love that. This is a racing podcast.
Right,
yes, indeed. So let's talk about some racing. We got a couple races to go over this week. First off is the IndyCar race in St. Louis, our first oval that is not the Indy 500 of the season. So top 10 in qualifying. Yeah, finally. Top 10 in qualifying, we had Will Power on pole, followed by McLaughlin and O'Ward. Fourth and fifth were Malukas and Newgarden. Sixth through 10 were Armstrong, Rosenqvist, Herta, Palou, and Kirkwood. I guess top 10 doesn't really matter as much on ovals, but we're not going to go through all 27. So, moving into the race, the first half of the race was dominated by Joseph Newgarden. He looked controlled and fast and looked like he was poised for an easy victory. That is until about halfway through the race. Luis Foster, I'm never going to say his first name right because I'm American.
There's too many ways to say it.
Crashed into the wall and ended up crashing across the track. Newgarden was in the wrong place at the wrong time and got taken out by Foster's car in spectacular fashion. Scott Dixon 2017 style. Car went airborne, flipped up vertically, hit the pit wall. It was quite the incident.
Yeah, a lot of sparks.
Lots of sparks. Crazy after you see all the fuel leaking out of that car that there was no fire. That could have been pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, AMR was essentially waiting for him where he came to a stop.
They're like, oh, so. There's a car here upside down now. Yeah.
About time you got here.
Second half of the race after that restart was a strategy battle between Kirkwood, O'Ward, and Dixon. Unfortunately for Dixon, his strategy did not quite make it long enough. There weren't quite enough yellows for him to make it on just the four stops. So his strategy didn't quite work out. Kirkwood and O'Ward battled for the lead over the last couple of laps, and Kirkwood ended up coming out on top to win his first oval race.
God, there is so much good racing this race.
It was a very good race, yes. I think the more I watch ovals, the more I like them. I didn't like them the first season, but the more I watch, the more I understand.
Yeah, the more you understand, the more you realize like how much strategy and how much like actual passing strategy there is.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of because there's a lot of racing is strategy, but it's even like ovals is just strategy, which I really mm-hmm. like because you have so many more opportunities to pit because you're doing so many more laps that there is forced strategy variance. Like nobody's on the exact same strategy. Or exactly, if there yeah. are, there's like two or three people, but you know, everybody's doing something slightly different, so everybody's gonna finish in a, you know, not it's not just gonna be finishing in qualifying order like in most road racing, or at least close to qualifying order.
Yeah, and there's just so many points of bravery because like you can go four wide in some points of this track, and they did. But especially as the race goes on and the track gets dirtier, like oval tracks are so much more affected, I feel like, by debris just built up over the course of the race. So like the evolution of that, and then people still taking massive risks along these corners to take high side or real low side to try to pass somebody. Just, I don't know, it feels a little more unpredictable in terms of where people can pass versus like the standard track where there are, you know, maybe three dedicated passing areas where people can try.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you see people setting stuff up and it takes several laps to actually execute a pass correctly. And, you know, you get people and it's like, you can tell that, you know, some people are driving, overdriving the car, and you can drive faster than everybody else and pass everybody, but it's not going to actually end up good in the long run because you're using way too much fuel and tires. Connor Daly, like Ben said, is incredibly entertaining to watch because he passes so many people, but just like in the Indy 500, he executed all those passes way too early and way too fast, and then he had no tires and had to make an extra pit stop at the end. Well, actually, no, he didn't. He only had five, but I'm sure that there was probably fuel saving in the last stint that slowed him down.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
My favorite thing would be if he continues doing this on ovals and having the same terrible results, and he just never learns.
Yeah.
He just keeps smashing his head against the wall. He's like, why aren't I winning? I'm doing so well in the first half.
Yeah, I will say he's doing much better on ovals this season than he has in the past, and much better in general this season. So, you know, he kind of came into Hukos Hollinger as like, you know, they got him because he had driven Indy cars before, but he wasn't like a star really, but he's actually had a super good season, better than he has before. Cause he used to race for UCR, I think.
Yeah.
In the Bit Nile car. So, yeah, great season for Connor Daly. He needs to figure out how to not, give everything he has in the first half of a race just to try to make it to the end just barely. So let's go through, I'm not going to go through everybody, but the top 10 at the end of the race were Kirkwood in first, followed by Ward and Rasmussen with his first podium, followed by Dixon in fourth and Ferrucci in fifth. Sixth through 10 we had Daly, VK, Polo, Armstrong, and Schwartzman. Lots of young drivers.
Yeah.
Robert Schwartzman in 10th place. First top 10 for him and for Prema as a team.
Yeah, pretty good for a first-year team to break into the top 10, especially on an oval. That's not really where you'd expect Prema to place, especially given their other endeavors.
Yeah. Callum Ilott was in the lead of the race for a while at the end. Had to dive into the pits last second with like two or three laps to go, unfortunately. But he had a pretty exciting race. If there was a yellow, he might have made it.
Yeah.
Another Prima car. So, talking points, Kirkwood and Award could possibly be championship contenders. Maybe. I didn't think I'd be saying this 3 weeks ago. Polo is still a long ways ahead, but
yeah,
but they have a chance.
Back to a road course for this next race, so
I know
another 50 points to Polo.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like it's a Yeah, it's not a straight circuit either, so it's not like, super tight and tough. It's Road America, which is essentially the spa of the United States.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a pretty apt comparison, I think. Maybe I'm just saying that because the curb colors are the same. But
Maybe, yeah. Are you saying Spa of the United States because it's like a really long, fast track, or Spa of the United States because of like the recognition?
It's a long, fast track. Recognition too, and I think the elevation change. There's a ton of elevation change at Road America,
Mm.
also with Spa. So, I might just be grasping at straws now. But anyway, Kirkwood and Award. Award is in second in the championship somehow, even though Kirkwood has now won three races and Award has not won any.
I feel like I've
Award
barely even heard Award's name mentioned aside
in the
from
first half of
the
the
past couple
season.
races. Yeah.
So Award has 262 points and Kirkwood has 260, and then Pello has 335. In fourth place in the championship is Christian Lundgaard at 221, so he's probably out of contention. But who knows? I mean, Pello's had a rough couple of races. I mean, he did end up finishing eighth in this race, which isn't horrible, but it's not first, so.
Yeah, Penske boys are way down this year. You don't see him till Will Power in seventh.
Yeah, all three of the main Penske boys were leading this last race at some point, and two of them crashed out.
Yeah, crazy change from last year, which even after the cheating scandal, there was still a lot to watch from them. So it's kind of weird to see them fall off so much.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, did all three of them crashed out, or did one of them have a?
I
What
think
happened to
McLaughlin
McLaughlin?
had a retirement for some reason. I don't remember
Did he?
why.
Yeah, I don't remember that part, but
Colton Herta doing his best to bottle even being in the top 10. Love to see it.
yeah. I mean, he finished the race.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
He did finish the race. He had a couple bold moves, but man, 17th is pretty bad.
It's not the best, no. Man, when is Graham Rahal gonna call it a day?
Where
That poor guy.
is Graham
22nd.
Rahal? 22nd, rough.
22nd,
Hey,
seven laps
he's out
down.
there having fun. He's just
Yep.
having a good time.
Indeed. All right, so we talked about that and that and that and that. And ovals are actually fun. We did talk about this
Yeah.
a little bit, but yeah, ovals are very enjoyable if you know what to look for and what to watch.
It only takes watching a couple before you start seeing the patterns and start seeing the moves being made.
I hate to admit this to you, Ben, and to the internet as a whole, but I actually really enjoyed watching the Coca-Cola 600.
My God.
I know. So I may be watching NASCAR Cup races if they're on.
Oh my gosh.
I know,
Does
I
that
don't
mean
want to
you're
be
gonna
this
watch
guy.
the NASCAR Cup race in Portland? It's not Noval, but is that your NASCAR entry point?
Well, I think the Coca-Cola 600 was my entry point officially. Watching the Melon Man Ross Chastain pull it off in the end. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see about that. But yes, I have NASCAR has piqued my interest, and I've never felt so bad about anything in my life.
You're like
All right.
ashamed. You're like, man, I used
I
to
know.
give up watching MotoGP for this.
Yeah. I'm moving from Formula One to a sport where they only turn left. Unless it's
Literally,
a road
where they only
track.
turn left.
They do road tracks, but it's not common.
Yeah.
I want to watch that
Yeah, I
dirt road.
mean.
There's a dirt road race that they do too. That'll be chaos.
Yeah, I mean. When ARCA came to Portland a couple years ago, I think the main draw of that for me in watching that was, oh boy, I hope they have to go through the chicane. I was pretty disappointed when they didn't because that would have been hilarious to watch. But yeah, usually I equate NASCAR road courses with just carnage.
Absolute
But I also
chaos,
don't really
yep.
watch NASCAR, so maybe it's time to
Yep.
start.
Actually, the first NASCAR race I watched in this era of my life was the Circuit of the Americas race where Kimi Raikkonen jumped in a car and and raced. I did watch that. That was fun. He didn't do very well, but it's fine.
Obviously.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the Canadian Grand Prix and Formula One. Canada is one of my favorite tracks to watch. I think it's pretty entertaining, even when it's not. And I think that kind of sums up this race pretty well.
Yep. There's some exciting stuff and some not very exciting stuff, and it balanced out to a pretty fine race.
It was fine, yeah. It was kind of like you couldn't stop watching it because it was kind of on the edge the entire time. It's like something could happen for the entire race. Like something's going to happen. And then nothing ended up happening. Or when something did happen, the race ended under safety car. So, but there was this like, you know, there were a lot of different strategies going on, which I found very entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, Max was on kind of a crazy aggressive strategy and he was catching George at the end. And Oscar wasn't doing anything crazy. Ferrari's tried something. It didn't work out very well, as Ferrari does. But anyway, let's go through the top 10 in qualifying before we talk about the race too much. It was George Russell on pole, followed by Verstappen and Piastri. 4th and 5th, Rance and Elliott and Hamilton. 6 through 10 were Alonso, Norris, Leclerc, Albon, and Colapinto. Moving into the race, Russell led into Turn 1 and wasn't challenged for the rest of the race. Antonelli passed Piastri into Turn 3 on Lap 1 to take P3. Verstappen went aggressive on strategy, but it didn't really work the way he wanted. The Ferraris dropped back in the race and didn't challenge anybody very much. Albon got caught between two strategies before eventually having an engine failure. Classic Williams things.
Classic.
With a couple laps to go, Lando Norris crashed into the back of Piastri on the main straight and ruined his own race, ending up in the wall. And because of that, the race ended under a safety car.
Yeah. Oh, man. I thought we had like a Belgium 2016 moment there and both cars crashed out when I saw one in the wall, but I didn't realize that Lando Norris had just made it all the way to the wall.
Yes. Yeah. It was just Lando, thankfully, as a McLaren fan. I will say I was very, not pleased, but I was glad that Lando took all of the blame for that because it was 100% his fault.
Yeah. They're driving in a straight line.
I know. This wasn't one of those weird Azerbaijan 2017 two Red Bulls hitting each other situations. It was like Oscar was just chilling and Lando's like, I'm gonna go for this gap on the left. That's not a thing. I have all this room on the right, but no. So yeah, 100% Lando's fault. And I didn't watch too many interviews with him after that, but I know he took all the blame for that, and as he should have.
Is it bad that it's kind of refreshing to watch a driver take responsibility for a crash that they caused?
I don't think that's bad. I think it just shows how rarely that happens, but I mean, there's no way he could have blamed Oscar for that. He just literally drove into him.
We've seen drivers try.
I know we've seen drivers try. Especially with their teammates. If like we don't see teammates crash into each other that often because that's like rule number one. So results of the race. George Russell won the race, followed by Verstappen and Antonelli on the podium, followed by Piastri in fourth and Leclerc in fifth. 6 through 10 were Hamilton, Alonso, Hülkenberg, Ocon, and Sainz. 11 through 15 were Behrman, Tsunoda, Colapinto, Bortoleto, and Gasly. 16 and 17 rounding off the finishers were Hadjar and Stroll. And our three DNFs were Norris, Lawson, and Albon. So one thing to note, Lando Norris did get a 5-second penalty added to the end of his race, and it was not a grid penalty for the next race because Norris was technically classified because he completed more than 95% of the race. And so, or maybe it's 90%. I think it's 90%. So he did more than 90% of the race, so he was technically classified as a finisher. So because of that, he got a 5-second time penalty added to his total time instead of a grid penalty for next race.
So weird.
Very weird. Red Bull launched a protest against George Russell for some shenanigans with safety cars, and I will say it was a very scummy move by George Russell. Seemed like he intentionally brake-checked to get Verstappen to pass him under safety car so that Verstappen would get a penalty point and thus a race ban. I mean, he looked in his mirror to see where Max was right before he did it. It was pretty clearly intentional. and safety car got well over 10 car lengths in front of Russell. And the protest was stupid. It was never going to go anywhere. But also, like, Russell's being
it's
a jerk.
It's crazy that this is what it's come to.
I know. If you're, like, seriously, if you're trying to do things to give another person penalty points to get them banned for a race, that's just, like, not cool. I've never been a fan of Russell, but this is, like, this is why.
Russell hates back on the menu, boys.
Yeah.
It was kind of off after he left Williams and got to Mercedes, but it's back on, baby. We're George Russell v. Bottas years, baby, right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's moments like this when he shows, like, his character. I get that he's in the heat of the moment, but my goodness, trying to get someone else banned, it's just, like, stupid. Anyway.
Anywho.
All right, standings for the race. Or standings not for the race, for the season for Formula One. Oscar Piastri still out in front. Actually, a net benefit race, even though we only finished fourth. Extensively in the championship because Lando is still in second. So Oscar Piastri is at 198. Lando is at 176. Verstappen's at 155. Russell is at 136. And everyone else past there is not really anywhere close to the hunt, including both of the Ferrari boys.
Yeah, that's a pretty good delta between Russell and Piastri. I mean, even between Verstappen, that's more than a race.
Yeah, we're not quite halfway through the season yet, so I'm not willing to call the top four out of it, because we saw what happened with McLaren last season. They were kind of nowhere at the beginning of the year, and then they ended up coming back and winning the Constructors.
Do you think McLaren's going to come back from summer break and be even faster, just like usual?
Maybe. or they're going to pull an Aston Martin and negatively develop the car.
They're going to go backwards and then not actually know how to bring the car back to where it was competitive.
Yeah.
It's like drag and drop all the old car files. Just delete them immediately.
They're going to upgrade
We don't need these anymore. The car's better. What more can we want?
They're going to upgrade their inventory system to Excel.
it's so much cheaper.
It really is, I'm sure. Who needs SAP when you have Excel?
Exactly.
Right. All right. So in the constructors, McLaren is way out in front at 374, followed by Mercedes at 199 and Ferrari at 183, with Red Bull at 162. I saw today that if Max Verstappen was not at Red Bull, that they would be last in the championship standings.
That is wild to think about. Yeah. They would be behind Alpine.
It'd be behind Alpine with less than... How many points does... Tsunoda has 10 points, and Alpine has 11 points. So, not great.
They would have half the points of Sauber, for perspective.
Yeah.
Half the points of Hülkenberg.
Speaking of Hülkenberg, yeah. The man finished in, like, 8th place this race.
He's almost in the top 10 for driver points.
He really is. He's in 11th place. He's ahead of Lance Stroll. And Carlos Sainz. How did this happen? Australia,
Carlos Sainz happened. Keeps, like, not finishing races.
I mean, he did get a point this week, but, yeah.
Yeah, he's just kind of scraping by. I know he's getting used to the car still, but it really feels like he's kind of almost taken more of like a development driver role at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Hopefully he picks it up by the end of the season.
Williams had a lot of good races in a row, and the last two have not been great for them. So hopefully they can rebound in Austria, which is not nearly as technical of a track as the last two. So we shall see. Austria's probably the, I guess you could say, easiest track on the calendar. But with that being said, since it's the easiest, it's also like you have to be inch perfect or else you're not going to be on the pace at all.
Yeah. But I mean, who is Williams competing with this year? Because like
they're way ahead of Haas and they're way behind Red Bull, so they're not, I think they're just kind of secure to P5.
Just chilling. Yeah.
Williams in P5 in the championship is wild to say, but that's where we are this year.
Yeah.
We're going to have a battle between Haas, Racing Bulls, and Aston Martin, which I actually think will be a pretty tightly contested battle.
Sauber might also even be in this if Hülkenberg keeps it up. He might be able to carry kick Sauber above Aston Martin.
They have been consistent. Like, they've been faster since Imola, for sure. They brought upgrades to Imola, I think. I know Aston Martin did as well, but I think Sauber also brought upgrades to Imola, and they've been consistently, like, way faster. Bortoleto made it into Q2, I think, again this week. Did he?
Yeah.
Looks like he did. Yeah, Bortoleto made it into Q2, as did Hülkenberg. Bortoleto still has no points, but I think that's only a matter of time, because he's not been bad. Where did he finish? 14th. So, not...
I guess getting much closer.
It is much closer, yes. He was, you know, consistently back of the field, but he beat Hadjar, Gasly, Stroll. Probably would have beat Lawson and Albon. Definitely would have beat Albon if they didn't DNF, but...
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't that far off of Tsunoda by the finish.
Yeah. Poor Yuki, man.
Yeah, poor Yuki.
that poor guy. I guess... promoted to Red Bull and just becomes anonymous immediately. I guess, you know, I think people are a little easier on him this time around, because I think people know now it's not just Perez being bad. It's just like that car is impossible.
Yeah, after three times around, everybody kind of... I think a lot of people had a lot more tempered expectations. But even with the tempered expectations, I think people were at least hoping that Tsunoda would be competing with, like, Antonelli, maybe Albon, maybe the Ferraris.
Yeah, trying to get like some points every week, but yeah, the guy but can't he's score.
Been barely in the points when he is in the points.
Yeah, which is rare, and he keeps qualifying has been his Achilles heel. He can't qualify well to save his life.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to overtake of the week. I give this to Santino Ferrucci for a wild overtake on three cars in one corner on lap 14 in St. Louis. Went around the outside of two cars and then cut down across the track and went past another car on the straight. Wild things from the American man himself. Ferrucci is also one of those really fun drivers to watch that just kind of overdrives the car, much like Connor Daly. So
in the back of his head, he's like, fuel is a renewable resource, so I'm going to use it as much as I can.
Exactly. Yep.
Another anti-Dixon.
Yeah, we made this joke over the weekend. The anti-Dixon, the anti-Pelot. Who needs measured approaches when you have right foot on gas pedal?
Did you know you can simply just go faster? That is an option. Just drive faster and you can pass people. It's crazy. There are no consequences.
Not at all. All right, let's move into our predictions for this week. First off, IndyCar in St. Louis. Pole position went to Will Power. What did you say, Ben?
I had Newgarden.
And I had Alex Palou. The podium was Kirkwood, O'Ward, and Rasmussen. What did you say, Ben?
Wow. I had McLaughlin, Newgarden, and Malukas. Just brutal.
Boy, all three of them were looking great at some point during the race.
And all three of them DNF'd, right? Did Malukas even finish?
Malukas did not DNF. But
Where did Malukas
finish?
Man, he fell way back.
Yeah, he probably had one of those early on aggressive strategies as well. All right, and I had Newgarden, Eriksen, and Palou, which did not shake out that way. winning
Man, I
number.
Forgot that Eriksen even drove this race. Where was he?
He was super anonymous. Did not do much at all. Which is crazy because usually he's really good at ovals. Winning number of pit stops. What do you got, Ben?
Let me scroll back down. Eriksen got 13th, by the way. I had 3 pit stops. Way too low.
I had 4, and it was 5. So, yeah, both of us undershot that one for sure. Moving on to Canada in Formula 1. The top 5, to remind everybody, was Russell, Verstappen, Antonelli, Piastri, and Leclerc. What did you say, Ben?
I had Piastri, Verstappen, Norris, Leclerc, and Russell with Sainz as my dark horse. So I at least got Verstappen to second place, but it was actually a little bit of a podium shakeup, which I appreciate.
Indeed. I had Verstappen, Piastri, Norris, Russell, and Antonelli with Alonso as my dark horse.
Hey, at least you had Antonelli up there.
I did have Antonelli up there, and Alonso did finish, I think, 7th, so close.
higher than
fastest
average.
Fastest lap. Yeah, right. fastest lap went to George Russell. What'd you say?
I had Lando Norris for that one.
I had Max Verstappen. Driver of the day went to Kimi Antonelli. What did you say, Ben?
I had Piastri for that one.
And I had Alonso. Moving on to this week. Hopefully we do a little better this week in both series. Road America and IndyCar. What do you got for pole position, Ben?
I got to give it to... Why am I giving it... I guess I'll give it to Palou. I wasn't even thinking. But maybe Palou will actually qualify super well this time.
Maybe. I'm giving it to Will Power, the man with the most pole positions in IndyCar history. I went with the easy pick there, even though it's not really super given this year.
Because the season's been so good this year.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Podium, what do you got, Ben?
I have Palou, Kirkwood, and Power because I know it's Josh and the guy, but hey, there's a chance, and I feel like if there is a place you could do well, it's Road America.
Yeah, I have Award.
And then Kirkwood
Palou
has just been absolutely solid along with Palou, so might as well give him a chance.
Yeah, I have Award, Palou, and Lundgaard. Winning number of pit stops. What do you got, Ben?
Ooh, I've got 4 for this one.
I have 3. Moving on to Formula 1 and the Austrian Grand Prix, one of my favorites of the year. Top 5, give it to me, Ben.
I've got Piastri, Norris, Russell, Verstappen, and Antonelli with Hülkenberg as my dark horse.
Okay, I have Norris, Verstappen, Piastri, Russell, and Leclerc. With Alonso as my dark horse, once again.
Couple love, of old hats.
Love for, dark horsing Alonso.
Yeah, old reliable.
Yep. Fastest lap, what do you got, Ben?
Piastri for this one.
I have Norris, driver of the day. What do you got?
Also Piastri, I guess.
I have Bortoleto as my dark horse. I think this is the one.
Interesting.
This okay. is the one. If he scores points, he'll get driver of the day for sure.
If he scores any number of points, you think he'll get driver of the day?
I believe so, yeah.
That's impressive.
All right, Ben. I don't know if you have any words of wisdom for us this week. I sure do, but if you do, why don't you go first?
No, it's all you.
It's all me. All right, this is Nathan's yep. words of wisdom for this week. I don't like that smug look on your face, Ben.
Evil RevHang be like Nathan's words of wisdom.
Yes. bizarro rip hang. So my words of wisdom for this week, if you're going to learn how to ride a motorcycle, take the state funded, you pay to do it, but the state provided professionally taught motorcycle safety course, rather than trying to learn from one of your friends on a Grom.
right bike, wrong instructor, maybe.
Yes, right bike, wrong instructor. Does give you quite the sense of confidence that, you know, I can't get hurt on this thing.
It can hurt you in other ways.
It can't. It can hurt. It hurt my pride, that's for sure. Not that this is a personal. This is just words of wisdom from me. So, yes, learn how to ride from professionals, not from friends, and also watch out for curbs. That's my advice.
Yep. Yeah, curb. Don't curbs. Look where you want to crash. Look where you don't want to crash, or look where you want to go, not where you don't want, not where you are going. I give up.
I understand. I understand what you're saying, Ben. I was most certainly looking at the curb the entire time.
Yeah, you like tunnel vision in. You're just like,
Well, so see, I know enough to know that you're not supposed to like slam on the brakes while you're turning. So So I just said, you know what? I'm just not going to use the brakes because I don't want to crash. And by doing that, I crashed.
There's a fine line. You can use the brakes a little bit as a treat when you're about to turn.
Yeah. Even putting the clutch on probably would have saved me, but I just kind of panicked.
Just kept going. He sped up. It was the craziest thing.
Yeah. So learn from pros. If you're going to crash, don't get your foot caught between the foot peg and the shifter.
Indeed. And on Grom, the controls on Groms are small enough anyways that if you have like normal size feet, like it's just kind of hard to find anything anyways.
Yeah. So I will say it was impossible to find neutral on that thing. It was like the tiniest little gear shift into neutral. Yeah. But that might be all bikes. That's the only one I've ridden.
Will you get back on another motorcycle at some point?
Oh, absolutely. I knew this before.
There
we go. Yeah, I knew this before the day was even over. I'm like, yeah, I'm trying again once I can move my leg.
Nice. Well, you can always try in my motorcycle too if you want. You can try that one in the dirt, which hurts a little less if you fall.
Fair. I might take you up on that. But Yeah, learn from professionals. I will say I'm also proud of myself because as I was injured, I did have to get the bike back somehow, so I rode the bike back to the house.
Atta kid.
With the leg that was quickly swelling up.
Yeah.
Those are the words of wisdom for the week. Thank you everybody so much for watching and listening to this episode of Rev Hang. If you enjoyed, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on. Really helps us out. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing from those series, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on Twitter or any socials really in comments or DMs, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the Rev Hang page on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, anywhere at Rev Hang Media. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about the Formula One Austrian Grand Prix and the IndyCar race at Road America. And we will hopefully be back in person. So we'll be two people at Ben's table instead of just Ben this week.
Just me. It's so lonely here. Maybe you could put like your face, your video cam feed right here, or above me.
I've got a plan, and it's not that, but but yeah, hopefully we'll be back in person. This is also a day late for similar reasons, so we'll be back on schedule next time, ideally, but life until then, yes, life indeed. Until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.